Buddy Vanderhoop is standing next to the Wampanoag River Herring Run on Martha's Vineyard, between Menemsha Pond and Squibnocket Pond on Gay Head. It's late May, and this time of year there should be fish running, but today there are none. Vanderhoop isn't surprised. He's been managing the run for more than 35 years, and he's watched the river herring population dwindle.
9 years ago, it went from 1 year, you know, we probably took 10,000 pounds every 4 days out of here and probably let 60,000 pounds a day run up to spawn. To the next year, maybe we had 10,000 fish total run up.
Unlike Atlantic herring, river herring return to the fresh water where they were born every spring to lay their eggs before heading back out to sea. Wampanoag have been taking fish from the run at Aquinnah every spring since at least the 1600s. But as of 2006, Vanderhoop hasn't been allowed to take any.
The states all of a sudden came down here one day and said, you can't catch any more herring. You're shut down.
The populations are too low. River herring have been designated a species of concern, and there's a statewide moratorium on catching and selling these fish. The thing is, no species stands alone, and this is particularly important when it comes to managing bait fish. Species like river herring and Atlantic herring traditionally play many roles. They're forage for larger fish like cod and bluefin tuna, they're food for humans, and they're bait for recreational and commercial fisheries. Alex Friedman is a charter captain from Martha's Vineyard and the Associate Commissioner of Fisheries for Dukes County. Friedman has the same explanation of why river herring are disappearing as every other fisherman interviewed for this story.
The heavy, heavy fishing pressure on Atlantic herring.
That's right. He says Atlantic herring. When it comes to fishing, Atlantic herring and river herring are linked. They're different species with different life cycles, but Atlantic herring populations are in much better shape. And unlike river herring, Atlantic herring spend their whole lives at sea.
But during the winter especially, river herring will mix with Atlantic herring, and it's almost impossible to target one species without having enormous bycatch on the other.
This presents a problem. For starters, as Vanderhoop sees at the run in Aquinnah, river herring populations are in trouble. The number of fish in many runs has declined by as much as 95% since 2000. Second, there's a huge industry targeting Atlantic herring. The boats are called midwater trawlers, and as Friedman explains, they often team up and drag a net between them for a practice called pair trawling.
There's very, very little observer coverage. There's very little accountability, and they're allowed to dump a catch. So theoretically, a captain could haul a multi-million-pound take, see that there's river herring in there, realize that he's not supposed to have them, and it gets dumped to the bottom of the sea. And they're dead. They can't survive that.
It's a frustrating reality. What's happening out at sea essentially is negating the hard work people are doing on land to preserve river herring. The latest numbers from the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission show that on average from 2005 to 2010, more than 1 million pounds of river herring were taken each year as bycatch and thrown away.
So it can be very frustrating for people who are literally working hard, restoring creeks and streams and protecting river herring from even being taken a couple at a time for bait, to all of a sudden see untold numbers being vacuumed out of the sea.
Bycatch and overfishing aren't the only reasons bait fish are struggling. Dams make it hard for river herring to return to their spawning grounds and reproduce. There's industrial pollution that causes poor water quality in rivers and estuaries. There's climate change. And beyond all this, there's the fact that baitfish are part of an ecosystem that isn't managed comprehensively. Judd Crawford is a biologist and policy manager with the Pew Charitable Trusts in Boston. He says we need to think about baitfish quotas in terms of leaving enough for both fish and fishermen.
I mean, you don't ever hear, or I haven't very often heard in discussions about management of the herring fishery, well, if we give the herring fishery that amount of herring, it's going to mean the following for the people fishing for groundfish.
Every quota is a trade-off, particularly when it comes to bait fish. If fishermen are taking more Atlantic herring out of the sea, there will be fewer bait fish for cod and haddock and tuna to eat in the wild, and their populations will likely shrink.
I mean, those kinds of relationships are not, I think most people at some level appreciate that they exist, but we haven't been able to get to a point yet where we actually try to really understand those relationships and make decisions that are informed by the trade-offs that we make.
The hope is that science and policy and management can recognize this and come together to help rebuild these keystone species. There are a lot of hurdles. It's hard to tell Atlantic herring and river herring apart on a fish finder. And some fishermen have a hard time saying which species they've caught with just a casual glance. Regulators and scientists are working to get more observer coverage on big boats. And there are projects tracking river herring bycatch and trying to reduce the number of these fish tossed overboard dead. In the meantime, herring run managers like Buddy Vanderhoop are doing their part. Every year he watches river herring go up the stream laden with eggs. And a few weeks later, he watches their spawn swim down and hopes that one year soon there will be enough fish once again to fill his nets. For WCAI, I'm Elspeth Hay.